You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 27th of January 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, the big news at the moment, of course, is the coronavirus out there over in China. And over the weekend, we were treated to images of such culinary delights as bat soup, fruit bat soup. Fruit bats are a creature that is known to spread all sorts of different diseases, including rabies and Ebola. They also eat fruit bat in Africa. And this was seen as a delicacy in China. And there's also been videos of Chinese eating live rats. I don't know what they've done to the rats to stun them, because they weren't particularly lively, but they were there wriggling around on the plate with a little bit of salad, and the Chinese guy there is picking them up with chopsticks and munching on them. And I saw a video of a young Chinese child, 2 years old, 3 years old maybe, and he was being fed, I think they were sort of halfway between tadpoles and frogs. You know, when the tadpoles start sprouting legs and they're sort of half turning into a frog, and they were live, they were swimming around on the plate or in the bowl, and mother was picking them up in chopsticks and feeding them to the little baby there. And I was just looking at this and I was just thinking, who on earth thought it was a good idea to have Chinese restaurants in the West? Who thought it would be a good idea to introduce this sort of cuisine to Europeans? Just amazing that they could eat this stuff. I've seen videos before of a Chinese woman out in a garden with a bush there, and she sort of puts her hand in the bush and finds this sort of slug caterpillar sort of creature, and it's wriggling around, and she just bolts it down whole. I mean, I've heard of people eating weird things, but I mean, the Chinese really seem to take the biscuit here. And of course, this is alleged to be where this disease has come from, that it's jumped from animal to human and it's mutated, and now it can move from human to other human. Of course, there are laws in the Old Testament telling us what foods we should be eating, and here in the West we don't eat things like cats and dogs, and we know that the Chinese eat those as well. And it makes me wonder just what their digestive systems are like. Do they have different digestive systems to us? We know that there are big differences between the races. There are differences in things such as the amount of hormones that they produce, different sizes in organs. The skin itself is an organ, and obviously the skin of a Negro is very, very different to the skin of a Caucasian. Negro skin doesn't produce its own oil, for instance, and hair is very different. And if you look at the staple diets of these different races, they are obviously very different as well. I mean, out there in Africa, Negroes can eat carrion, apparently, without it causing them any harm. I've seen videos of them descending on a dead elephant that's obviously been dead and rotting for quite some time, and they're just tearing off bits of meat and eating it. And after looking at these videos of the Chinese eating these strange foods, I thought I would have a look around and see what else I could find that they eat. And it gets even worse than the videos that we've seen so far. I've got a report here that actually comes from Dr. William Pierce, It's from the National Vanguard website. I can't claim that I actually found this article. And apparently he is quoting from the April the 12th, 1995 issue of the Eastern Express, which is apparently a newspaper that's an English language newspaper that's available in Hong Kong. And it's actually talking about the Chinese eating fetuses. A reporter visited several hospitals in mainland China seeking aborted fetuses for eating and found that they were readily available. This is the quote from the Eastern Express. Reports that dead embryos were being used as dietary supplements started to spread early last year, with reports that some doctors in Shenzhen hospitals were eating dead fetuses after carrying out abortions. The doctors allegedly defended their actions by saying the embryos were good for their skin and general health. A trend was set, and soon reports circulated that doctors in the city were promoting fetuses as a human tonic. Hospital cleaning women were seen fighting each other to take the treasured human remains home. Last month, reporters from East Week, a sister publication of Eastern Express, went to Shenzhen to see if the rumours could be substantiated. On March the 7th, a reporter entered the state-run Shenzhen Health Centre for Women and Children, feigning illness, and asked a female doctor for a fetus. The doctor said the department was out of stock, but to come again. The next day, the reporter returned at lunchtime. The doctor eventually emerged from the operating theatre holding a fist-sized glass bottle stuffed with thumb-sized fetuses. She said, "There are 10 fetuses here, all aborted this morning. You can take them. We are a state hospital and we don't charge anything." So this obviously seems to be quite common here, that you can just go to a hospital and ask for a fetus with the intent of eating it, and the nurses don't think anything of it. The reporter learned that the going rate for a fetus was $10, that when the merchandise was in short supply, the price could go up to $20. But these prices are pin money compared to those set by private clinics, which are said to make a fortune selling fetuses. One chap on Bong Men Lao Street charges $300 for one fetus. The person in charge of the clinic is a man in his 60s. When he saw the ailing reporter, he offered to take an order for fetuses that had reached full term, and that, it is claimed, have the best healing properties. When a female doctor named Yang of Xinhua Clinic was asked whether fetuses were edible, she said emphatically, "Of course they are. They are even better than placentas. They can make your skin smoother, your body stronger, and are good for kidneys. When I was in an army hospital in Jiangtai province, I often brought fetuses home." Now, it's interesting here to contrast this with what happens with the abortion industry in America, where they sell body parts for thousands of dollars, particularly the stem cells and even the foreskins from the circumcisions that they do. They sell for lots of money. And of course, just in case people think I'm leaving Jews out of this because I talked about Chinese and Negro culinary habits, there is, of course, the folk tradition amongst the Ashkenazi Jews of when the foreskin is chopped off, the mohel used to throw the foreskin up in the air, and the young Jewesses used to clamber over one another to catch the foreskin, and then they would bolt it down as quickly as they could, and the superstition was that within a year they would be married and they would be pregnant. And there's also a folk tradition with recipes, actually recipes for making candies out of foreskins. And in case people think that this is beyond the realms of possibility, this actually comes from the book Blood Passover that was written by the son of the rabbi of Rome with the help of one of the Hebrew universities in Jerusalem. And it's a book about the allegations of human sacrifice that used to be made against the Jews. And this is a part of it. He traced the history of this eating of the foreskins. Now, I don't know that there is any history of white people actually eating humans or eating strange animals that we shouldn't really eat, unless we were starving, of course. But what's going on here, it isn't people starving, it's just people eating these unlawful foods, I would suggest that they are. Getting back to this article here about the fetuses, a Mr. Cheng from Hong Kong claims he has been eating fetus soup for more than 6 months. To begin, the man in his 40s would make the trip to Shenzhen frequently for business and was introduced to fetuses by friends. He says he met a number of professors and doctors in government hospitals who helped him buy the fetuses. At first, I felt uncomfortable, but doctors said the substances in fetuses could help cure my asthma. I started taking them, and gradually the asthma disappeared, Cheng said. Zhu Quin, 32, a woman from Hubei, with the fine skin of someone several years younger, attributes her well-preserved looks to a diet of fetuses. As a doctor at the Lan Hu Clinic, Zhu has carried out abortions on several hundred patients. She believes fetuses are highly nutritious and claims to have eaten more than 100 in the past 6 months. She pulls out a fetus specimen before a reporter and explains the selection criteria. People normally prefer fetuses of young women, and even better, the first baby and a male. They are wasted if we don't eat them. The woman who receives abortions here don't want the fetuses. Also, the fetuses are already dead when we eat them. We don't carry out abortions just to eat the fetuses. And I find it interesting that she says there, also the fetuses are already dead when we eat them. And why would she need to deny that? I think people would automatically assume that the fetuses were dead when they eat them. So the fact that she's actually denying it makes me question whether they haven't tried eating them when they're alive. I mean, we've seen them eating live rats and live tadpoles. I mean, absolutely gross, this tradition here that they have. Dr. Warren Lee, president of the Hong Kong Nutrition Association, is aware of the unsavory rumours. Eating fetuses is a kind of traditional Chinese medicine and is deeply founded in Chinese folklore, he says. So this is nothing new. This is part of the Chinese traditions, is to eat fetuses. And that, again, that got me thinking, well, I wonder just what else the Chinese eat, and we'll hear a bit more about that in a minute. I'll just finish this quote here from William Pierce. He says, well, there is much more in the April 12, 1995 article from the Eastern Express, an English language newspaper published in Hong Kong. If that is not enough for you, try digging into Chinese folklore for yourself. As the man said, eating fetuses has deep roots in Chinese tradition. So I thought I'd have a look around and see what else I could find that the Chinese eat. And I'm wondering whether any of the listeners out there have ever heard of virgin boy eggs. And virgin boy eggs are well known enough to actually have their own Wikipedia page. Virgin boy eggs are a traditional dish of Dongyang, Zhejiang, China, in which eggs are boiled in the urine of young boys who were presumably peasants, preferably under the age of 10. Named Tongjidan, the dish translates literally to boy egg, and is a springtime tradition of the city, where the urine is collected from prepubescent peasant boys. The eggs have been listed by officials in China as a part of the region's local intangible cultural heritage. So that's rather like Cornwall patenting the pasty and Scotland patenting the haggis. This part of China has actually registered these Chinese boy eggs boiled in urine as part of their local intangible cultural heritage. The dish is a long-standing tradition of Dongyang, and its practices date back centuries. There is no good explanation for why it must be boy's urine. Specifically, it simply has been for centuries. Of course, they have to say that because they have to uphold equality. Of course, male urine is no better than female urine. Well, why does it have to be male urine that they use then? However, it is historically believed in the region that urine has various health benefits and was commonly ingested in ancient times. Although rice was the most widely grown crop, most peasants raised their own pigs and poultry on the land as well. This led to the egg's availability to the common person, and with the supposedly added benefit of urine at the time, the virgin boy eggs grew in popularity. The dish is prepared by first soaking the eggs in the urine of young boys. The urine is sourced locally by each vendor. Then the mixture is heated over a stove. After boiling, the eggshells are cracked around the entire surface of the egg. Afterwards, the eggs are placed back into the urine. The used urine is then replaced with fresh urine, and the process is repeated. The soaking process allows the eggs to become cured in the urine as they are left to simmer. The entire process is generally a day-long endeavor. According to some recipes, different herbs may be added to the marinade. When finished, the egg's whites have a pale golden hue, and the yolks turn green. Virgin boy eggs are similar to century eggs in their curing process and historical roots, although century eggs have become much more popularly widespread and do not use urine. Find that particularly funny there. Of course, that's why they've become widespread. I mean, how can they say that it's a similar way of curing them if it doesn't actually use the main substance used for curing? I mean, this isn't like these eggs are just being boiled in urine and it's just on the outside of the shell. I mean, this is soaking right the way through the eggs, and people are actually eating them. These are a delicacy. Virgin boy eggs are widely accepted as a time-honoured tradition of the city, rather than considered taboo, like most other cultures. Boy egg vendors go to elementary schools in the city, where they collect urine from young boys, preferably under the age of 10. The children have been raised in the city and its culture, and are used to the practice. As young boys would in schools from many other cultures, they excuse themselves from class when they feel the urge to urinate. However, instead of going to the restroom, they relieve themselves in the basin that the vendors place in the hallways. Some vendors go as far as to wait with containers in parks or public restrooms for a parent who is willing to let their child offer urine. You just imagine that, can't you? The parents out there with the kids in the park, and someone comes up to them with a container offering to buy their boy's urine. And if they were to do that to somebody white, I think they would probably knock them out. The teachers, being accustomed to the tradition as well, often remind the boys to not urinate in the basin if any of them have a fever or if they feel ill. In addition to buying them from street vendors, residents of Dongyang are also known to cook and prepare the eggs at home, using the urine from household boys. So they're literally collecting the piss from their own sons and cooking eggs in them. Although modern medical research provides evidence that there are no health benefits from ingesting urine, the virgin boy eggs remain deeply rooted in tradition. As of 2012, the eggs are sold for about 1.50 yuan, approximately 24 cents per egg, and are approximately twice the price of normal eggs. However, not all of Dongyang's present residents enjoy the dish. One local man was quoted saying, "The smell kills me. I feel like throwing up at the thought of it. It stinks." In general, virgin boy eggs remain highly acclaimed by the people of Dongyang for both their taste and even their fragrant smell. Some claim that the ingestion of the urine-soaked eggs can treat yin deficiency, decrease one's internal body heat, and promote blood circulation. Locals claim that the eggs also prevent heat stroke. It was widely believed in ancient China that eggs cured in one's own urine for 7 days and consumed for a course of 3 months was a cure for chronic asthma. And of course, they were claiming that the eating of fetuses was also a cure for chronic asthma. It seems they use that as an excuse quite a lot. I think that was used for the reason for eating that fruit bat soup as well. Among other uses for urine in Chinese medicine, a young boy's first urine of the day is considered to be very powerful and may be combined with herbs to make a tonic. Modern medical practitioners remain dubious of any health benefits of urine therapy in general. Evidence-based modern medicine has determined that urine is waste expelled from the human body and basically contains no substance conducive to human health. And of course, that is just common sense. You don't need to do scientific tests to determine that you shouldn't be eating urine. I mean, that is just common sense. It smells bad. It's waste. It's coming out from the body. It's not something any normal person would want to eat, but apparently the Chinese view it as a delicacy. Now, the next thing that came up, and I found this one really shocking, is the use of feces to treat severe diarrhea or food poisoning. and this was first described by Ji Hong, a Chinese medicine doctor in the 4th century. In the 16th century, another famous Chinese physician, Li Shizhen, described using fresh or fermented fecal products, called yellow soup, to treat severe diarrhea, fever, pain, and constipation. And that one was sent in by Fielding in Fielding Malish in the chat room. And actually, it's not quite right. Even though they are calling it yellow soup, they don't actually eat it. Although you could believe that they did eat it after learning about the virgin boy eggs and the eating of fetuses, but apparently this preparation is to go up the back passage rather than to go down the gullet. Now, as I mentioned, it's not just the Chinese that have these strange diets. The Africans also have a strange diet. Most people are aware that there used to be cannibals there, but most people don't think that there still are. But if you look the word up in a search engine, you'll discover that there have been quite a few cases just in the last 10 years of people being prosecuted for selling human flesh in restaurants. And of course, there are the cannibal warlords of Liberia. And I've talked about these before, but I actually found a couple of early quotes here from about a century ago from Simon Shepherd's heretical.com site, which talk about just how prevalent this used to be in Africa. The first one comes from Reverend W. Holtman Bentley, Baptist Missionary Society, and the book's called Pioneering on the Congo. They divided up their human booty and kept them tied up and starving until they were fortunate enough to catch some more and so make up a cargo worth taking to the Mobangi. When times were bad, these poor starving wretches might often be seen tied up, just kept alive with a minimum of food. A party would be made up, and two or three canoes would be filled with these human cattle. They would paddle down the Lulongo, cross the main river when the wind was not blowing, make up the Mobangi, and sell off their freight in some of the towns for ivory. The purchasers would then feed up their starvelings until they were fat enough for the market, then butcher them, and sell the meat in small joints. What was left over, if there was much on the market, would be dried on a rack over the fire or spitted, and the end of the spit stuck into the ground by a slow fire, until it could be kept for weeks and sold at leisure. Sometimes a section of the people would club together to buy a large piece of the body wholesale to be retailed out again, or a family man would buy a whole leg to divide up between him, his wives, children, and slaves. Dear little bright-eyed boys and girls grew up accustomed to these scenes from day to day. They ate their own morsels from time to time in the haphazard way that they have, and carried the rest of their portion in their hands on a skewer or in a leaf, lest anyone should steal and eat it. To this awful depth have these children of the Heavenly Father fallen. This is no worked-up picture. It is the daily life of thousands of people at the present time in darkest Africa. And that was in 1900. The next quote comes from Gary Hogg in Cannibalism and Human Sacrifice. The Bambala, these missionaries found, regarded as special delicacies human flesh that had been buried for some days, also a large, thick, white beetle grub found in palm trees, and human blood boiled with manioc flour. The women of the tribe were forbidden to touch human flesh, but had found many ways of circumventing the taboo, and were particularly addicted to human flesh, extracted from graves, and in an advanced state of decomposition. See, being able to feed on carrion, not just dead and rotting bodies, but dead and rotting human bodies. If a Caucasian was to try doing that, it would kill him. And yet, Negroes can do it. And also the Chinese can eat fetuses and eat urine and eat live rats. And yet we're all supposed to be the same race. Got another quote here from John Roscoe. The Bagesu and other tribes of the Uganda Protectorate, the Royal Society, and this is in 1924. For various reasons, the custom was kept secret, and even members of the Bagesu tribe were not permitted to look on during the ceremony, which was performed by night. Yet the custom was known to all, and each family was aware of what was going on, though they never sought to watch their neighbour's doings. When a man died, the body was kept in the house until the evening, when the relatives who had been summoned gathered for the mourning. In some exceptional instances, it took 1 or 2 days to bring the relatives together, but as a rule, all was ready by the evening of the day of death, and at sunset, the body was carried to the nearest waste ground and deposited there. At the same time, men of the clan hid themselves in different places round about, and as darkness deepened, they blew upon gourd horns, making a noise like the cry of jackals. The villagers said that the jackals were coming to eat the dead, and the young people were warned not to go outside. When darkness set in, and it was felt to be safe to work without intrusion from inquisitive onlookers, a number of elderly women relatives of the dead man went to the place where the body lay and cut it up, carrying back the pieces they wanted to the house of mourning, and leaving the remains to be devoured by wild animals. For the next 3 or sometimes 4 days, the relatives mourned in the house in which the death had taken place, and there they cooked and ate the flesh of the dead, destroying the bones by fire and leaving nothing. There was no purification or shaving when this mourning was ended. Sometimes an ox was killed for a feast when the heir was announced, but as a rule the people simply returned to their ordinary life without any ceremony. The widows, however, burned their grass girdles and either went about naked or wore the small aprons used by unmarried girls. Nice way to treat your dead. Finally, we've got Basil Spence here from Sudan Notes and Records from 1920. Innumerable acts of cannibalism have been reported from time to time by both Belgians and French, the most recent of which I have actual knowledge being the waylaying by a party of Azandi of a Belgian officer proceeding on leave from the Lado enclave, now Western Mongolia. They tore him limb from limb and ate him raw. This occurred 12 years ago. Now that's quite some time back, that's a century ago. But then we have this report from 2003 in The Guardian. Marauding rebels are massacring and eating pygmies in the dense forests of northeast Congo, according to UN officials who are investigating allegations of cannibalism in Ituri province, where fighting between several rebel groups has displaced about 150,000 people in the past month. Many of the displaced tell of rebel fighters capturing and butchering pygmies. Manoji Manubai, spokesman for the UN ceasefire monitoring mission in Congo, said yesterday. The UN had sent 6 officials to investigate the accusation, as well as other human rights abuses, he said. Other UN officials in the capital Kinshasa and the eastern city of Goma said that widespread cannibalism had already been established. Ituri is completely out of control and cannibalism is just the latest atrocity taking place, said one, who asked not to be named until the investigation deliver their report. Perhaps this will finally alert the world to what is going on. Ituri's forest-dwelling pygmy tribes have been caught between 2 opposing groups supporting the government and Ugandan-backed rebel groups in the last battles of Congo's 4-year civil war. The 2 Ugandan-backed movements routinely enslave pygmies to forage for forest food and prospect for minerals, a UN official said. Hunters returning empty-handed were killed and eaten. Sudi Alimazi, an official of the pro-government group Rally for Congolese Democracy, said it had begun receiving reports of cannibalism from people displaced by fighting more than a week ago. We hear reports of enemy commanders feeding on sexual organs of pygmies, apparently believing this would give them strength, he said. We also have reports of pygmies being forced to feed on the cooked remains of their colleagues. Cannibalism has re-emerged throughout the eastern Congo as the last vestiges of colonial influence have been eroded during the war. Much of the vast forested area is controlled by the Mavi Mavi, a loose grouping of tribal militias united by their magical beliefs and taste for human flesh. On a recent assignment in eastern Congo, the Guardian correspondent saw many Mai Mai fighters wearing parts of the bodies of their Rwandan enemies, in the belief that this would make them invincible. We are hearing reports of untold horrors in Ituri, said Weiger Ventholt of Médecins Sans Frontières. Interesting there that the Guardian admits that it is happening as the last vestiges of colonial influence. become eroded. The last influence of the white man disappears, and the blacks all return to cannibalistic savagery and start eating their pygmy neighbours. And of course, the reason for bringing all this up is to show that these people are completely different to us. And of course, multiculturalism is not going to work if you start importing them into white countries. These traditions of theirs, this culture of theirs, is entirely alien to us, and it's harmful to us, as these diseases that they catch from eating this sort of a diet, as they mutate into diseases that could well affect white people. I mean, we don't know if this coronavirus just affects the Chinese at the moment. It could affect white people. I don't think it does, but we haven't been told yet. I guess it's politically correct not to actually tell us the race of the people that have been dying from this. Anyway, you are what you eat. If I was you, I wouldn't go anywhere near a Chinese or an African restaurant anyway. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.